bless you all, and thank you, Barney and Vicki, so much for giving me this opportunity to share my heart. But before I do, I want to open up tonight with a very humble, a grateful, and a thankful heart, man. I just want to thank everybody out there who's been praying, lifting, and believing for my situation and standing on them promises of God's word. You know, I've said this before. Many of you, Vicki and I, we've never met face to face, but we do know each other. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, how God has brought us all together through this awesome ministry called Acts Now Fellowship. You know, I'm sure everybody on the line tonight loves to hear stories, true stories, of course, about God's mercy, his grace, his healing, his love. Well, I got a story that I want to tell you tonight about God's deliverance and the magnificent way that he works with his special kids and how he works within our means of understanding. Now, we all know we're all different individuals. We got different personalities, different characters, but there's one thing that we all have in common. We all believe belong to this family of God. This story has got a lot in it, got a lot packed into it. It's got action, it's got adventure, it's got danger, excitement, it's got ups and downs. It's even got a little romance, healing, deliverance, and friendship. You know, and as I saw this story starting to progress, I just knew I had to write these events down. So I hope you're all going to understand by the time I finish why it's so important to me to share it with y'all. Seems as I look back now, it's about 3 months or so ago, things began happening, or at least this particular chapter in our lives. For the past couple of years, we've been attending a small Baptist Trinity church. We've made some friends with the believers down there, mostly old folks, pretty cool people. This is a small town kind of thing. But something was always off with the pastor. He's a great speaker, very knowledgeable. He spent a lot of time, you know, in the Old Testament. But, you know, once he started teaching in the New Testament, and he began teaching in John 1 and explaining that Jesus Christ is God and that Jesus Christ created the universe and that the gift of tongues went out with the apostles and so on, Vicki and I, we just couldn't take it. So we walked out mid-sermon. Now, I've spoken with this pastor a couple of times in the past about Jesus Christ being God and the manifestations of speaking in tongues. He said, well, you know, God will figure it all out when we get there. As kindly as I possibly could, I says, well, you know what? God's already figured it out. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to come off like I don't like and love these guys. We do. I mean, we're not better than these guys, and I'm not judging them. But we got a big difference of understanding of God's rightly divided word. And we understand, you know, we understand. We got to look at traditional teachings in the so-called church today through what we know and we've been exposed to, and we know what is true. Now, that being said, we all want the same thing. We want to help people get born again. We want to share the word and let people know what's available and the integrity and the accuracy of God's word. And like I said, there's no judgment here. It's just an observation is maybe might be a better word to use. This is an issue that I'm still working on. But since that time, things began happening. My son took the class Getting to Know God Better by Bob Carden, and he is so blessed by what he was shown. He's hungry for more. We just can't put into words what that means to us. Now, I'm probably pretty sure that you all know what I'm talking about. Perhaps some of you have had similar experiences with your kids or family members. He's been searching for some time now, and he's finding answers, and he wants more and more. Now, he was exposed to the word as a child. But like all of us, you know, we bear off that road sometimes to the left and the right, but we come back. With that being said, we got new neighbors. They moved in about a year ago. They got a little girl. She just turned 13. She's got cerebral palsy and a lot of underlying issues. She is adopted. She's tried several times to hurt herself and mom and dad. You know, as of writing this down, she's back in the hospital. We continue to pray for her. And well, mom and dad, they know where Vicki and I stand on the word. And Vicki was talking to the mom on the phone one day, and she's got a lot of health issues herself. And she, the mom, she asked if maybe we could have a Bible study sometime, a fellowship. Well, of course, we said, wow. No time was set. But the next day, the dad comes to our door. He says, can we have a fellowship tonight? Of course we. So we went over to their house. The mom, she was hurt by the daughter, and we thought it best to go over there. Well, they know the word from traditional church teachings. They studied with the Mormons for a while, and wow, some pretty wild stories there of their involvement with that group. They're just not satisfied with the organized religion. Well, they did most of the talking that night. They had a lot to get off their chest. They're wonderful people, a wonderful company, a couple. So we shared the word, we prayed for the situation, and we left very blessed. And they were very blessed. Well, we had about 8 inches of snow between that night and the next day, which would be Wednesday. I went out to the snow blower to clear everything. I started up the blower, but it wouldn't blow the snow. It started great, it ran great, but it wouldn't blow the snow. I looked at the auger, and in three separate spots, there was a weld that was broken in an area that should never, ever happen. It wasn't that way when I had put it away. It's not an easy fix, especially in the cold and the snow. Usually a share pin breaks off, and that's what they're made for. It's a common thing. Not this. This was a really strange thing. It should never, ever happen in that area. Now, mind you, it's only about 3 years old. It's fairly new. Well, I come into the house, and before I could say anything to Vicky, she says, "Hey, the washer just stopped. It won't spin. It just stopped for no reason, and it won't spin." Now, mind you, like I said, these are all fairly new items. So I goes out to the car to go out and find a new snowblower. Lo and behold, my engine lights come on. I say, "What?" We realize at this point there ain't no such thing as a coincidence. We know who's getting upset or aggravated. We know who's not happy about what's going on. So we kind of laughed about it. We prayed for the situation. Now, here we go. It's Thursday, Thanksgiving. All went well. We had a good day. Here comes Friday. I got up to take my dog for a walk, and I felt kind of terrible. I got lots of pain going on. I thought, this is just going to pass. This ain't nothing. It's going to pass. Well, it didn't. As time went on, it just increased. It increased to the point of going to the ER. The pain level I had was a 10 on the scale of 1 to 10. I was feeling like almost delirious. Blood pressure high, chills, sweats. I got confusion and lots of pain. They tried to get the pain under control. I knew what was happening at that point. I tried to keep the word running through my mind. I just kept believing. I was speaking in tongues like a house of fire. They gave me fentanyl in the IV. That was in my arm. I thought, fentanyl? That's some pretty potent stuff. People OD on this stuff all the time. This is pretty serious. It did nothing for me. And then without knowing, they gave me something called ketamine under their supervision. I had no idea about this. Wow, man, I'm telling you. I floated out of my body. Everything was distorted. I had a feeling of, I guess you might want to call it, euphoria. I remember yelling, "Father, Father, I know you're with me. In the name of Jesus Christ." I had no idea of time. My voice and the voices around the staff controlling this was all distorted. I was floating out of my body towards the lights. Now, looking back now, I know it was about 20 minutes, and I was back on the bed. The doctor comes to me and says, "Hey, that's what the kids today call Special K on the streets." The pain was back. It didn't work. Then they gave me a thing called Dilaudin. The pain eased out. Then I was admitted to the hospital, and they began running tests to rule out what it wasn't. The pancreas, the appendix, the spleen, the liver, the kidney, the heart, gallbladder, CAT scans. They said, "Maybe you got a blockage of cholesterol in the arteries in the stomach. And because of the chest pain, perhaps it's your heart." I never really gave a lot of thought to these things before now. Well, I left the hospital almost 3 days later with no definitive diagnosis. I was told to follow up on my PC, make an appointment for tests, got to go see the vascular doctor. They don't know. But you know what? God knows. At this point, I have so many chemicals going through my system. Well, as I was in the hospital, I was determined to keep my mind on the word. I met so many people there helping me, and I was able to share the word with most. And I've got to tell you something, this is hard to explain, but being in pain and having everything going on, it was like medicine to my soul. One young woman, a very sweet nurse named Rebecca, she was hooking me up with all the IVs, the wires, and all that crazy stuff. And I asked her, I said, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" She looked at me and she said, "Well, yes, I do." We had a very pleasant conversation, I guess you'd call it, about what's going on today in the world. She said as we were talking, "I can't say this to anyone here. I could lose my job for even talking about it, but I feel like I can tell you." She's really concerned about her daughter going to the school systems today, the woke, the trans, and all the craziness that's going up there. She doesn't want her daughter to be exposed to it. She's really, really concerned about the future. Well, I had many conversations with most of all the people tending to me over the past three, or over them 3 days. Most of them seemed blessed once I opened up and I asked them if they knew Jesus Christ. Not all of them. I got some rolling eyes. I let them guys notice it. I'm not a religious fanatic. I'm not a Jesus freak. I'm not trying to tell you anything. I'm just a regular guy who loves Jesus Christ, and I want to let people know how you can get born again, and I want you to take a look at Romans 10, 9, and 10. Now, get this. That Sunday, I went for another CAT scan, and a young man named Aaron came to get me, and he'd do the scan. Now, I hadn't met him yet. After the scan, I asked him if he knew Jesus Christ. He said, well, yes, because I'm reading a very interesting book now on Jesus Christ versus Buddha. So he asked me, he says, where are you from? So I told him the short story, Boston, San Diego, New Hampshire. Now I'm up in Maine. I said, where are you from? He said, originally, I'm from Oklahoma. I said, wow, man, I got some really good friends from Norman, Oklahoma. He says, that's where I'm from. At that point, my mind was blown, and his was too. Now, I live in a very, very small town in Bingham, Maine, about 1,000 people here. Imagine that, running into somebody from Norman, Oklahoma. Kind of makes you go, that's strange. By the way, that was Sunday. That night before that, it was about 9:30 at night. I was laying in the hospital bed. I wasn't feeling good at all. And I received a text from Bonnie. At the other end, he says, and this too shall pass. Now, he doesn't know that I'm laying in a hospital bed going through all this at that specific time. You know something? I was so blessed. And it's so cool to see how God works within our means of understanding. You know, he may not be early by my standard, but he ain't never late. Now, we all understand that this old flesh and body, it's going to age. We're going to break down over time. And we do our best as stewards of our body to take care of ourselves. We all go through things, right? Everyday living, you know, you might stub your toe, you cut your finger on a piece of glass, get that occasional indigestion, things happen. You shake it off, right? This was something different. This was a blatant attack. I'm so thankful for being shown through God's word how he's with us and he never does leave us. And many scriptures started running through my head, like 2 Corinthians 2:11, that Satan should get an advantage of us. We're not even his devices. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I thought a lot about what Jesus Christ was going through as all this was going on. Now, I'm not trying to compare what was going on with me, but what I was dealing with. But you know what? I found a lot of comfort in my mind. My physical pain was horrible, but I did find peace and comfort is the best word I can use to describe it. I know sometimes it sounds repetitive, but I couldn't stop saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And I knew at that moment I was resting in his arms. It is so awesome to know that this written word that we had, it is revelation from God. Now, I'm not really sure where I got this from, but I write things down all the time now when it kind of touches me, so to speak. It goes like this, because God is the best doctor, and his word is the best medicine. When you face opposition, ordinary people would be worried. Ordinary people will complain. But here's the key. You're not ordinary. You're a child of God Almighty. His face is shining and smiling on you, and he wishes above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. So the bottom line here, the moral is, never, ever give up, man, no matter what you're going through. You're never alone. God is faithful. Well, this story isn't over yet. As time is passing, we had another fellowship with our neighbors. The child, she came home from the hospital, and less than 48 hours later, she acted up. Very, very violent. Now she's back in the hospital. We prayed with the mom and dad, being as specific as we know how. Less than 48 hours, things started happening. Calls came in from social workers, case managers, different facilities specific to her needs, or to her special needs. Whereas before, nothing was being done for these folks. They were just being pushed down the line. Nobody was helping these folks who've had an incredible journey up to this point. So many downfalls and bad breaks, you might say. Things are looking much, much brighter today. Well, I had an appointment with the stress test doctor. It was at 7 a.m. It takes about 3 hours to do. I wasn't feeling well that morning. I had a restless night, some pain the night before, but I really want to get this test done. By the time I got to the appointment, it was back with a vengeance. The nurse saw me, she canceled it and brought me right into the ER again. Wires, IVs, CAT scans, all over. They found out that I got diverticulitis was ragingly inflamed, causing issues with my small intestines. something they called an idiom. It's not, my intestines ain't contracting right. Well, I was released from the hospital with antibiotics, still feeling kind of confused. I had pain, no sleep. As all this was happening, my Vicky called Bonnie and Vicky, who happens to be on the road at this time, returning from San Diego. Vicky ministered to me. Within 5 minutes, I was asleep. Now, mind you, I haven't been able to get any sleep for a while. And the combo of no sleep, pain, that can really do a number on your thinking. You know what, bud? It's so awesome to be a part of God's family, the body of Christ, and to know you can call on a brother or sister, especially in a moment of, dare I say, weakness, for anything. And I know calls were made that night and prayers were sent. And again, I want to thank everybody. You know, like I said, sometimes I want to express my true feelings, but I know it's all received with you guys, love and understanding. Well, now it's a few days later, Monday morning, and guess who shows up? The old bird is back knocking at my door. This is wild. The pain is to the point of having to call the EMTs now. Back to the hospital by the ambulance this time with the severe pain. Now, mind you, the last thing I want to do is go back to the hospital. But my instructions were, if the pain gets worse, if it persists, return to the ER immediately. Don't wait. I really didn't want to go, but I had to get this under control. Now, we got a bad storm coming on us, and I mean a bad one. On the way to the hospital, we had trees down, electrical lines down, and had to divert. It took like an extra 45 minutes to get there. The storm was just starting to ramp up. At about 1:30, while I'm in the hospital, lights go out a couple of times. But, you know, they come right back on to the hospital. They got emergency power or emergency generators as a backup. I called Vicky to find out what's going on at the house. And she said, power's out everywhere. Now, we got 3 sump pumps in our basement. They need power. We have a generator that I deal with, a full tank of gas, and about five gallons of gas, maybe. But the power doesn't go. We get about 5 gallons of gas. That doesn't go up very much when this happens for only a few hours. That's about how long it goes. When we get our power goes out up here, it's not for a long time. It's only a couple hours or so. Not this time. Well, they get the pain under control. I got to get home. I live 25 miles away. It's a straight shot, single lane. But like I said, coming in, there was trees down, electric lines down, some flooding. The storm is still in its early stages now. This is where God starts showing me things, and man, he kind of just ramps things up. There's no Ubers. There's no cabs. Cabs are scarce anyway up here. No such thing as buses. The cabs that are here, they're all closed because of the storm. But we found one independent cabbie that agreed to get me home. He shows up like about 15 minutes. Yeah, it was 15 minutes later after I had called him. Most people, they had to stay at the hospital because, you know, people on oxygen, no power at their home, so they had to stay at the hospital. Well, we made it home, lickety-split. This guy was moving. Gets home, Vicky and my son, they got the generator going, but they're not sure of the pumps. Now, we're taking on about a foot of water an hour in the basement. That ain't good with things running like, you know, not running like they should. Can damage my water heater, my oil tank, furnace. Well, we got everything in order. Pumps, lights, refrigerator. Finally, we sits down. Right out of the blue, I hear, you need gas. Oh, man, I need gas. They're telling us that we might be out for 6 days. I only have so much gas. Well, out of the corner of my eye when we were coming home, I remember seeing the lights on at a little service station that only services ATVs and snowmobiles. That's right at the beginning of town. I really didn't pay much attention to it at that time, but it just popped in my mind. My son and I grabs the gas cans, and we go down there. Now it's about 9:30 or so at night. No lights. We went through some water, but when we get there, the pumps wouldn't take my card. So, back home. It's only about a mile or so. I got to get some cash. Believe it or not, these pumps actually have a place to put cash in there. Never seen that before. There's not an attendant or anything there. So we returned about 5 minutes later, and the emergency vehicles were blocking the road where the water was rising out over the river. They're starting to crest. The light, they had their lights on. They let me through. The little station is only about 1/8 of a mile from where they were. Well, we got our gas, and upon returning, they guided us through the water, which was, it was rising pretty quick now. And they told us, don't come back here. This road is, and now there's only one road to do this. This road is closed in 1 minute. They evacuated all the folks on the road there. We made it home with plenty of gas. The power was restored 3 days later. Now, these are only a few of the things that God was doing for us. Even when things look so bleak and distant, God is there through every step of the way. You know, I am really so blown away to see him working in every aspect, every situation, every difficulty that may arise. And I'm here to tell you today, his promises are sure and they're true, and he is faithful. Now, I got to share this with you before I go any further. I got the best wife you could ever ask for. We've been through many things over the past 50 or so years, and she is in so in tune with me and with God, and it's really tough to see pain and concern on someone's face when you love and care for them so much. But you know what? We hold each other up no matter what. Sometimes it's tough, but, you know, here we are today. It's a new day. No matter what, God's word never changes, and we have that promise as you can rest in. You know what? The best is yet to come. Well, that's what I wanted to share with you guys tonight. These are only just a couple of the things, you know, that I'm sharing with you that God has done. My encouragement to everyone tonight is never, ever give up. You're never, ever alone. Even when you don't see things immediately happen, when you look back, you know, you can see God in every detail. I hope this story does give you guys some encouragement, some enthusiasm to hold on to, hold fast to that faithful word of God, no matter what's going on in life. Remember, our big brother is coming back, and we are all so blessed to be a part of this wonderful family of God. Let me close with this. You know, it might seem kind of corny to you guys, but it surely fits with this story. You know, say, people may forget what you say, they may forget what you do, but they never forget how you make them feel. And I know feelings come and go. It's a flesh and blood thing, but it surely fits with this story. Oh, by the way, I had my heart test done. 100%, I'm okay. And also, today, I'm pain-free. And I've got to go see the vascular doctor in about a week or so, but I'm expecting him to say, I don't see anything wrong. What are you doing here? Then I can tell him, God healed me, man, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, I got a story to tell you. So that's kind of what I wanted to share with everybody tonight. I'd like to close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity tonight to share your word with your family, our family, God. I thank you for all you do and you continue to do every day, every second of the day for us, and that assurance we can have in your faithfulness, God, your kindness, your mercy, your love and your grace, God. Thank you so much. Thank you for that word you gave us to know you and your son, Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished for us. And Father, I'm so thankful tonight for you calling us to your family, for holding us by our hand and showing us things that, well, God, only you know. I thank you that we can come to you no matter what situation. Father, whatever, not so good, good, or if we just want to talk to you, for always being there for us and for giving us that Holy Spirit of promise, God, that constant reminder of your presence in our life, to keep our eyes and our minds focused on you. Despite all the darkness and the ugliness going on in the world today, we can see above it. And we know we got that inner peace and that comfort knowing that you are faithful to your word and your word is true. And we can speak it to whoever got ears to hear. Father, I just thank you for bringing us to your family. And we know that the people out there, they're hungry for your word and they want to know you. So Father, just thank you again for calling each one of us by name to this wonderful body of believers. And Father, it's in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, that I pray and I thank you. Amen.